May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 294. Jesus, at thy command I launch into the deep, and leave my native land where sin lulls all asleep. For thee I would the world resign, and sail to heaven with thee and thine. Hymn 294.
Thank you. to read two portions from his holy word. Firstly, the book of the prophet Jeremiah, part of chapter 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. They say, if a man put away his wife, and she go from him and become another man's, shall he return unto her again? Shall not that land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lying with. In the ways hast thou sat for them, as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Therefore the showers have been withholden, and there hath been no latter rain, and thou hadst a whore's forehead. Thou refusedst to be ashamed. Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father, thou art the guide of my youth? Will he reserve his anger forever? Will he keep it to the end? Behold, thou hast spoken and done evil things as thou couldest. The Lord said also unto me in the days of Josiah the king, hast thou seen that which backsliding Israel hath done? She is gone up upon every high mountain and under every green tree, and there hath played the harlot. And I said, after she had done all these things, turn thou unto me. But she returned not, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. And I saw when for all the causes whereby backsliding Israel committed adultery, I had put her away and given her a bill of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah feared not, but went and played the harlot also. It came to pass through the lightness of her whoredom that she defiled the land and committed adultery with stones and with stocks. And yet for all this her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel hath justified herself more than treacherous Judah. Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers under every green tree. Ye have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you. And I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. We turn now to the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, from verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. As he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thus killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word. Teach us to pray. O Lord God Almighty, do have mercy on us, we pray. Grant a thankful heart for thy mercy that brings us safely into thy earthly courts once more, for the privilege afforded us, Lord, to meet around thy word in thy house. But Lord, our need is great in so doing. Lord, how solemn if we should be left without thee. How solemn if we should only see the place and such as their resort. Lord, thou knowest those that have come here seeking and hoping to find a portion for their soul. And for that to be so, Lord, we do need thee to come. For we do not have a portion of ourselves. And Lord, though we have thy word with us, Lord, that speaks of the wonders of thy grace, Lord, those wonders of thy grace are not ours unless thou dost give them to us. Lord, we pray then, speak to us tonight, personally, individually. Grant a crumb from the Master's table for the poor feeling dogs. Grant, Lord, a portion for seven and also for eight, yea, for each here, if it could please thee. Lord, do speak pardon to the guilty sinner. Thy word declares pardon, but we need thee to speak it. Lord, oh, speak that blessed word of sonship to thy children. Thou hast said that thou wilt say, they are my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Lord, help those who've come feeling out of the secret. Not like unto thy children, so sinful, so dead, so far off, so undone. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt save thy people. Hast thou not said, to this man will I look, to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word? Oh, look upon such characters tonight, according to thy promise. Hear the prayer of the destitute. Build up Zion in that way. For thy word declares when thou shalt build up Zion, not if, but when, thou wilt regard the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer. Thou wilt appear in thy glory. Lord, oh, do appear in thy glory tonight. The person of thy dear Son, revealed by thy Holy Spirit. Oh, do send thy Spirit. We plead thy word in Zechariah. I will pour upon the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and shall mourn for him, and shall be in bitterness as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Lord, we do need it. Lord, law and terrors do but harden all the while they work alone. But a sense of blood-bought pardon soon dissolves the heart of stone. And such hearts have we, Lord, thou knowest, better than we do. Lord, rend these hearts, we pray, with thy expiring breath, Lord Jesus. O Lord, do remember us then. Do thy people good. Lord, we pray for revival. We pray, Lord, for maintaining. We pray, Lord, for the feeding of our souls. Thou dost abundantly feed our bodies. And we thank thee for it and for all thy providence. But Lord, we've got souls, never dying souls, and none of us can keep them alive. Lord, hast thou quickened us? When thy people are proving they cannot keep alive their soul, they sometimes begin to wonder whether it ever was made alive. Lord, oh, thou art the resurrection and the life, Lord Jesus. Oh, come and resurrect us. Lord, raise us. Our souls cleave to the dust. Quicken thou us according to thy word, even thy word which says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. O Lord, grant that believing on thee. Lord, we're incapable of it in ourselves, full of unbelief and every other sin. Lord, save us. Mercy is the total sum, Lord. Mercy, good mercy, is all we ask. Lord, nothing else suits our case but mercy. For in thy mercy, Lord, thou dost save. In thy mercy, thou dost pardon. In thy mercy, thou dost justify. In thy mercy, thou dost keep and preserve and recover and bring safely thy people to glory. Hear us then, we pray. Bless this people. Grant each whom thou hast quickened that growth in grace. O Lord, and one has to bring himself into this petition. Lord, make us fruitful people. Overcome our barrenness. Lord, make us real Christians. Make us lively, Lord, living stones, lively stones, Peter calls them. Lord, help us to come unto thee. Draw us to thee, Lord. We confess, Lord, how ready we are to go after other things, lawful things, or solemnly unlawful. But Lord, we pray, draw us away. For he that cometh unto thee leaves everything else. Lord, we pray. So allure us, attract us. And Lord, keep us at thy feet. Bid us wander no more. Lord, there is none like unto thee. What fools we are then. And Lord, this is the thing wherein thy people prove, or one of the things wherein they prove there is none like thee. For Lord, thou dost say, I am found of them that sought not after me. I said, behold me unto a people that inquired not. Lord, seek us. Lord, thou art that blessed good shepherd. Thou knowest where thy lost sheep are tonight. They may be in this congregation, but lost. Lord, seek thy sheep. On thy shoulders bear them home, suffer them no more to roam. Oh, feed thy lambs, Lord, and thy sheep. Feed them with food convenient for them. Lord, the only food convenient for a sheep or a lamb, thyself, Lord Jesus. wine and milk, without money, without price. Let us say, wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labour for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, incline your ear and hear, come unto me. Lord, say it with power to our souls tonight, that we may, Lord, come to thee. Lord, oh, thou knowest those that would come if they could, who long to come, and who have to say with the hymn writer, and still I cannot come to thee. Lord, but thou canst come to them. We pray thou will. Help this people then. Thou knowest the way that each one takes. When thou hast tried them, they shall come forth as gold. Give them faith to believe it. Though there is no sight of it, in the appearance of it, thy servant David died in faith. Resting in thy everlasting covenant thou hast made with him, although thou didst not make it to grow at that time. But Lord, thou didst make it to grow. Thou didst send thy son, the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. But Lord, we need him today in this place, in our hearts. Lord, we need it to grow. We need the Spirit to come and testify of Christ to our souls. We need his blood applied to our hearts, his love shed abroad in our hearts. Lord, we need thee, Lord Jesus. Lord, there is no substitute. Lord, we cannot live on knowing about thee. Oh, that we might know thee tonight, and the power of thy resurrection and the fellowship of thy sufferings, be made conformable to thy death. Bless this church. Unite them together closer and closer in Christ. Lord, bless the congregation. Work mightily, we pray. O Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Let thy work appear, Lord, so it will be seen. Who has believed the report? And the arm of the Lord, Lord, that mighty arm, that outstretched arm, gather in thy sheep and lambs into the fold, conducting them safely in thy ordinances, leading them in the way everlasting. Put thy yoke upon them, Lord. Constrain them to take it upon them, and learn of thee, who art meek and lowly in heart. Oh, may sinners here find rest in Christ for their souls. Bless Zion wherever she is. Give us grace to weep before thee for her desolations. Lord, for thou hast said weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. But there must be the weeping first. Lord, we pray for grace to weep. It may not be nothing to us, the low state of Zion. We may truly know that which the hymn writer confessed. While thy dear cause is thus suppressed, my burdened soul can take no rest. Oh, pour this spirit of travail upon Zion, we pray. Oh, and Lord, we pray, correct us, but with judgment, not in thy mercy, lest thou bring us to nothing. Thy spirit is grieved, we have grieved thee, Lord. Oh, convince us of our sins and turn us from them. The Holy Ghost may return in power, in abundance, according to thy promise. Bless thy sent servants. Send forth more labourers into thy harvest. The harvest is great, but the labourers are few. Have mercy on Britain. Overrule, Lord, at this critical time, we do pray. Oh, in mercy, Lord, do appear. Lord, do overrule for the real good of the land, especially thy little remnant therein, and appear for thy poor, despised little remnant throughout the earth. Help the prisoners of Jesus Christ. May they sing and pray in the prison as Paul and Silas did at Philippi. And Lord, may they be brought out as they were. And may, through those things, the gospel be furthered. Sinners be saved. Pardon all we ask amiss. Make up where we fail to ask for what we need. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1049. The Christian navigates a sea where various forms of death appear. Nor skill alas, nor power has he aright his dangerous course to steer. Hymn 1049.
Thank you.
upon the Lord. I venture to direct you this evening to the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 15. Verses 20 to 24. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. The way the Lord has directed me to this text is through the other portion we read, where the Lord says to his backsliding child, wilt thou not from this time say and cry unto me, thou art my father, thou art the guide of my youth. The hymn writer says in one place, doesn't he, 'tis time, you should be now restored. The Lord's time. He has a set time for every one of his purposes. You know, if it was left to us, it would never be the right time. We would whittle away our lives until it really was too late. That's what man does. That's what you and I would do if it were not for God's love and irresistible power. Oh, we must, in speaking from the word of God, warn sinners. And yet, my dear friend, in doing so, oh, we must, for the blessing of the Lord's people, and for the encouragement of those that know their helplessness, set forth the Lord's power to accomplish that which the feelingly powerless sinner cannot do. For if we only say to a poor sinner, if you leave it and leave it and leave it, it will eventually be too late. What help is that to a poor sinner who knows? That unless the Lord quicken, he cannot arise. Now, this son in the parable, like every son of God, was loved with an everlasting love. Are there those here tonight, and the Lord, either with the exact word or in another way, has appeared to you of old, saying, I've loved thee with an everlasting love? You see, if he's ever spoken any word of grace to your soul, if he's ever blessed you in your soul, it's because he loves you with an everlasting love. And that's why he says to that backsliding child of his, wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my father? He's reminding his people that he is their father. He's reminding them that that relationship between him and them cannot be broken. He's reminding them that that relationship isn't broken by their sins. It's not broken by their backslidings. It cannot be broken by anything. Nothing can break the relationship between a father and a son. With regard to us, of course, there is a sundering at death. Although we still speak of our late dear father as our father, even though he's gone. But, you see, God and his people do not die. The Lord Jesus said to John, "Fear not, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death." It's an unbreakable relationship. And you see, if you're a son and you do what this prodigal did, and there's not many sons that don't. You see, my dear friend, you and I don't have to leave chapel. We don't have to go and literally waste our substance on riotous living and on harlots. We can still be a prodigal if we're sat in the pew. Worse, we could be a prodigal in the pulpit. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. But if we are his son, we shan't be able to stay away from our father. Because he will have us with him. And if he is our father, he has in his house that which alone can satisfy our soul. I thought of that hymn as I meditated a little on this word before the service. Now I find an aching void the world can never fill. What a blessing if you do. But the reality of it will be, you won't just say that verse, that line of that hymn. You'll do what this prodigal did. He didn't just say he was going to go and arise and go to his father and say he'd sinned and so on. My text begins with a word, and he arose. And he arose. That's the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. He arose. Awake, awake, says the Lord in the prophecy of Isaiah to his people. Awake from that sleep. Awake from this condition where you're not conscious of things spiritually. Awake from that condition where you're not praying. Awake from that condition where you're not exercised. And he arose and came to his father. Just briefly, and it must be briefly, because the text is long, and if the Lord will, I want to get through it, if you enable me. But we must just look just for a moment at the background, what happens before my text. Notice what the father did. He sent a mighty famine on that land, and his son began to be in want. Is the Lord doing that to someone here tonight? A mighty famine has come on your land. You see, departures are very often not as sudden as this prodigal son's departure was, gradually drifting away from the Lord. And you see, very often it is through lawful things. What must I eat? What must I drink? Wherewithal must I be clothed? As it was with that man who was left in charge of that prisoner who must be held, he said, after he had lost him, as I was busy here and there, he was gone. Beware lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. You say, well, yes, I don't overeat and I'm not a drunkard. Perhaps you say, I do not touch drink. Very good. But can you say, I'm never overcharged with cares of this life? Can you say that? I don't believe one child of God can say that. Cumbered about with much serving. But you see, it's the Lord sending a mighty famine on that land. And your soul is becoming hungry. You have suddenly realized what you've lost. You've suddenly realized the effect of being so far away from your Father's house. You've suddenly realized that all you took when you left your Father's house is all gone. What a mercy. My dear friend, if you have an heavenly Father that does not let you survive on past provisions, if you have a living soul, it cannot survive on past provisions. Perhaps you've been trying to live on past provisions, and now the Lord has brought you to the point, as it were, I've emptied that store. There's no sweetness in the remembrance of that blessing any longer. In fact, I've got to the point where I greatly wonder the reality of it. And he began to be in want. A course of sin is the one that has gone into a course of outward sin. And the Lord is bringing you to be in want in conviction of that sin. His judgments perhaps upon you. You see, providence and grace are interwoven. An enemy perhaps has risen up. Troubles have come upon you. The business that perhaps you're over-engaged in, not prospering as well as it was. That isn't always the way. The Lord may be prospering your business, but still in love to your soul. You haven't got the happiness that you thought you'd have if that business prospered. You haven't got the contentment that you promised yourself when you thought, oh, if we could do this, and we could do that, and we could do the other, how well provided for we should be. How good it would be, and you have prayed for it. You've sought the Lord's help in it. But the Lord in mercy to your soul, though he is granting you this, the answers to your prayers for his providential provision and help, he is also kindly, mercifully watching over your soul. And you're in want. He fain would have filled his belly with the husks of the swine did eat. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. My dear friend, whichever citizen of this world we join ourselves to, with the hope that our soul is going to get fed, we're going to be disappointed. Because no citizen of this country, that is this earth, be he the most eminent servant of God that ever stood on this earth, he of himself cannot feed your soul. If your soul is spiritually in a cold, dead, unexercised condition, even if you had the Apostle Paul as a minister, he couldn't feed your soul. Paul may plant, Apollos may water, but God giveth the increase. No, my dear friend, and you see, whatever thing we think will do our soul good, we're wrong. There is only one that can do our soul good, and that is our Heavenly Father. There was a man who wanted to be kept conscious of the brevity of life and the certainty of death. He took a job as a grave digger, thinking that that would keep his soul alive in that respect. But he proved it had the opposite effect. He had so much to do with death. Being a grave digger every day, he became hardened to it. He fain would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. You may take up all sorts of things under the name of religion, and they will have the opposite effect of doing your soul good, except you be granted that grace to do what this prodigal son did. It won't help your soul, my dear friend, if you do anything but return to God. That is the only thing that can recover your soul. That is the only thing that can satisfy your soul. Going out to preach won't satisfy it. Going to more services will not satisfy it, unless the Lord is pleased through those services to reveal himself to your soul and speak to your soul and apply to your soul the blessed saving benefits of Jesus Christ, his Son. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You see, we should not be surprised to read that the Father saw him. Because what I've just recounted from the parable shows that the Father was working. Because this Father, of course, sets forth the Heavenly Father. So this father in the parable is not a father who has a restricted view, not a father that has a restricted arm. But he is the Almighty God. And while he was yet a great way off, oh, listen to that, sinner. That's the place where the Father finds every one of his returning people a great way off. That is the way back, my dear friend. That is the way you'll be restored. That is the way you'll be brought to the blessed Father's house. Not through you coming of yourself to his house, but as he makes you arise and go toward it, and go toward it in begging mercy, grace, pardon. Save me, Lord, or I perish. Lord, wilt thou recover me? Wilt thou bring me back? Wilt thou restore me? And you see that person, they're still a great way off. They're still a great way off. But the Father sees them a great way off. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And had compassion. And had compassion. Why did Jesus tell this parable? There are many reasons. It sets forth the gospel. But one of the reasons, and the reason that is before me now as I read this word and had compassion on him, is for the encouragement of his people who find themselves where that poor prodigal son was. Because in this parable, Christ declares that his Father hath compassion on returning prodigals. What is compassion? It is that which, upon seeing a person's pitiful case, even when they realize that that pitiful condition is a self-procured pitiful condition, out of the goodness of his own heart, oh, his bowels are moved toward that one. Compassion, pity, love combined. Compassion, seeing the helplessness, seeing the perishing condition, seeing the poverty and the destitution. I quoted in prayer another word that's been with me today. He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Compassion. You see, compassion has nothing to do with what the sinner deserves. It has to do with the condition of the sinner and what the sinner needs. And it has to do with the will of the one that has compassion. And it has to do with the loving kindness of the one that has the compassion. Had compassion. My dear friend, however bad your condition, and you see another thing in this parable. The Lord Jesus, when he is speaking of what his people do when they're left to themselves. Oh, it's not a happy account, is it? But the Lord doesn't belittle it. He doesn't speak of a prodigal son that goes into a far-off land but doesn't actually do anything too bad. No, he declares the truth. They go into the far-off land and do that which is very bad. But sinner, tonight, however bad you've been, however far you've gone, however foolish you've been, whatever you've done, if God works this in your heart so that your soul is found returning to him, there's enough compassion in God to look upon you and save you. There is. Because his compassion is like himself. I'm speaking now, of course, toward his own people. And the compassion that he has toward his people is bound up in his purposes in his own dear son. Sufficient compassion is infinite. Boundless compassion. Had compassion. He loved this sinner. Ah, you say, yes, well, that's the difference with me. I don't know God loves me. I remember what I said to you earlier. If he has ever spoken to you graciously, if he has ever done anything to save your soul before, to any degree in your soul's experience. What I mean is, you may not have been brought in the past by what he's done for you, to come to the full assurance that your soul now longs for, but whatever he did for you is because he loved you. And that love hasn't changed. But perhaps I'm speaking to one here tonight, or more than one. And you say, well, I can't say he's done those things which show that he loves me. But I'll tell you a sign that he loves you. If you're returning unto him. Because no one returns unto him but those whom he loves. And that's why it is true for a minister to say he loves the beggar's knock. He loves the sigh and the groan of a contrite-hearted sinner. Oh, how he loves that one. Behold, he prays. Had compassion and ran. Oh, you know how, and some of us have experienced it probably. I certainly have. Thankfully, it wasn't for long, but there was a time when my dear wife and I had lost one of our children. It was on a beach. We searched up and down the beach, scanned the sea. Oh, our hearts were so torn and grieved. But then someone brought our little daughter to us. As we saw them approaching, oh, how we ran to grasp that blessed daughter of ours whom we love so dearly. And this is what is set forth here. Oh, the Father running. Why? Because of love. He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The kiss. Oh, what a demonstration of love. The spouse asks for it, doesn't she? Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Pray that, my dear friend. You may pray that as the Holy Spirit makes you long for it. Oh, you read in this parable tonight the kiss that the returning prodigal got. Pray as the Lord enables you. Lord, kiss me with that same kiss. To assure me, Lord, that thou dost love me. To assure me that thy affection toward me is still the same. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, what did a spouse mean when she said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth? You know, the Lord Jesus never kissed any on this earth with his lips. I verily believe that. Not in the way we think of it. But when a word came out of those lips, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. What a kiss. Daughter, go in peace. What a kiss. O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. What a kiss. Fell on his neck and kissed him. What condition was this prodigal son in when he received that kiss? He wasn't yet in the best robe. He was in that tattered, filthy condition he got himself into in that far-off country. so it is. Why did the Father kiss him? Because even when he was bedraggled and dusty and filthy and smelly and whatever, he was still his son. He was still his son. And the Father saw him not as this seeming bedraggled stranger. He saw him because man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. He saw his son in his greater son. That's why he gave him the kiss. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. Isaiah speaks mysterious language. Who is blind as my servant? Who is blind as my servant? And remember, that's in Isaiah 42, where the Father is speaking of his son. Behold my servant. So we know who it is who he's speaking of when he says, who is as blind as my servant? Seeing many things, but thou beholdest not. Jesus Christ, and of course his Father is the same, for they are one in this matter. He sees many things, he sees everything, but he doesn't see any spot or blemish in his people. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob. When the Father kissed his son, he didn't see the filth. He didn't see the rags he was dressed in. He saw him as his son in Christ Jesus. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. And the son said unto him, Father. You see, the Father made clear to him he was still his father. He didn't disown him, the very opposite. Father, I've sinned against heaven. Will thou not from this time cry unto me? Cry unto me in confession. Cry unto me in supplication. Cry unto me, Father, I've sinned against heaven. You must, my dear friend. There's no other way back. There is no other way back. You cannot expect, for the Lord will not do it. You cannot expect him to receive you as though you, with you behaving as though you'd never done anything wrong. And you see that work he works in you to make you long after him. What is it? You do realize you've done wrong. Very wrong. Father, I've sinned. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, he says in that chapter, Jeremiah chapter 3. Only acknowledge thine iniquity. He doesn't mean that it's a little thing to acknowledge your iniquity. When he says only, what he means is, poor sinner, you cannot purge away your iniquity. You cannot promise you're going to be any better. He requires not that, for he knows you cannot give it. Only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast departed, thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. I've sinned against heaven. That's what the Lord convinces his people of. They've sinned against heaven. My dear friend, what we need is this conviction. Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Haven't we lost sight of that? Haven't we lost sight of that? lost sight of the great, the terrible, the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity. Heaven is his throne, that perfect, holy, sinless place, for he is that holy, holy, holy Lord God. His law is so exceeding great, it is infinite. His law is spiritual. I've sinned against heaven. Men didn't find fault with what I was doing. What a solemn day this is in which we live. It wasn't so long ago that men would find fault with some of the things that they are not finding fault with today. Things are going rapidly from bad to worse. I've sinned not against earth, because earth doesn't have a holy law. Man doesn't have a holy law. I've sinned against thee, Almighty God. David in Psalm 51, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. I've sinned against heaven. And of course that means I'm in a condition where I couldn't possibly enter heaven. Because heaven is that place where no sin can enter. I've sinned against heaven in this double sense. Nothing that defileth or maketh a lie will enter therein. I've sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, conscious the Lord has seen it and abhorred it, thou God seest me, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. A sight of what you are strips you of any thought of worthiness at all. But you see, the fact that this is a feeling created by grace shows that we by nature think we are worthy. And aren't we inclined to get into such a condition? Doesn't that work secretly, subtly, and yet powerfully in you, my dear friend, that when you think you're not as bad as others, you think you're more worthy than them? When you think perhaps, oh, I haven't done too badly, you're not in this condition wherein you're coming to God aright. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But let me try and speak of it in this way as it comes to me now. What had then made this man worthy to be called his son? Was it not the spirit of adoption he had received from his father? Was it not the blessed witness of the Spirit that Jesus Christ was his Saviour, his elder brother? Was it not the blood of Jesus Christ that was applied to his heart? Was it not the righteousness of Jesus Christ that was imputed to him? But now, in going as he had, he'd lost all that. That's why he's no more worthy to be called God's son. Are you there tonight? Wilt thou not from this time cry unto me, my Father? Is there a person here tonight and the Lord called you by his grace in your youth? Thou art the guide of my youth. Blessed you indeed. Even perhaps raise you to a blessed hope, so that perhaps at least in one moment in your life you could say, my God, my Father. Can you say it tonight? It's no use us, my dear friend, just saying, well, once in Christ forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. That is blessedly true. But don't avoid the question I've just put to you and myself. Can we say it tonight? Is it the Lord's will that his people shall be enabled to say it in their youth and then never be able to say it again? No. What has caused it? Our sin has caused it. As you grew up, my dear friend, one thing after another took the affections of your soul. It was your husband or your wife. It was then the children that came along. And then perhaps with some of you it's the grandchildren that have come along. And it's these things that have come into your life. And they have taken up your soul's affections. Secretly. Gradually. Subtly. And you're in a far off land. No more worthy. I can't say the Lord is my God, this sinner says. No more worthy to be called thy son. I haven't got that peace of God that passeth all understanding. I haven't got that witness of the Spirit that I am a son of God. I haven't got the sense of blood-bought pardon. No more worthy to be called thy son. But notice the father didn't allow him to say, make me as one of thy hired servants. He was going to say that, but his father didn't allow him to. The father's love had shown to him he was still a son. So he couldn't ask, make me as one of thy hired servants. And you know that's how it is when a sinner comes to God. Because what would it be if we asked God to make us one of his hired servants? We'd be coming under the terms of the law. Because that's what a hired servant is. A hired servant does work. He earns his keep. He earns his wages. That's the law. Do this and thou shalt live. When there's no room in the Father's house for his children as hired servants. The servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. But the Father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. That's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The best, the very best. It consists of all that Christ did. The law he fulfilled for them. The curse he endured for them. The blood he shed for them. Because he was made obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Bring forth the best robe, pure righteousness, the perfect man, the God-man, the law magnified, the law fulfilled, the law honored, every jot and tittle of it obeyed, and every disobedience atoned for, every disobedience suffered for, every disobedience receiving a payment, every debt through that disobedience paid off. That's the best robe. bring forth the best robe. To his servants he says this, preach to this my son the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And put it on him. That's the Holy Spirit's application. You may be in a far-off land, my dear friend, and you've got all the truths about the righteousness of Jesus Christ perfectly lined out in your heart, in your mind. But that's not the same as wearing that robe. For the robe to be put on you, and my dear friend, we need it. We need this justification. Be known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man forgiveness of sins is preached unto you, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. They cannot be justified by the law of Moses. But look at this, put it on him. Application. You see, my dear friend, this is what the returning prodigal wants. They don't want to go into chapel any longer and just hear about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Because they are so foully dressed, because they are so naked, because their condition is so disgraceful, it's not enough for them to hear about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. They want to be clothed in it. They want to be clothed in it. Application. My dear friend, salvation is more than hearing in an approving way. A man can receive nothing except to be given him from above. But here the promise is, he'll be put on the returning prodigal. Be put on him, the Holy Ghost will be given. The robe will be made his. He'll be clothed in it. And what a transformation in that man's appearance. What a transformation in his feelings. The best robe. And put it on him. Sinner, that glorious righteousness. I'm not going to get to the end of this text. This blessed robe, this best robe. Sinner, that glorious obedience of Christ. On the behalf of his people. If you're clothed in that, you're as right in God's sight as Jesus Christ is. You have as clear a title to heaven as Jesus Christ has. You are as acceptable to God as Jesus Christ, his Son, is. That's the best robe. Hiding forever all your nakedness. You're just in God's sight. Without blemish, without spot, all fair. And put a ring on his hand, a token of his love, without beginning, without end, that's a ring. A token of his love. Put a ring on his hand. This is a day to be remembered. This is a day to be remembered. Blessed betrothal. Blessed taking the sinner as Boaz took Ruth. And she became his wife. Everlasting love. My dear friend, we do need such days. And the Lord gives his people, perhaps some of them he gives just one day like this. But with most of them, there's more than one day like this. A day when the blessing of the Lord is so granted unto them. They may not be able to remember the exact date, but this ring that he gives them is such a reminder of that blessing. There's a man who was asked to go and see, a minister asked to go and see a person. She was dying of cancer. He spoke to her, read the word of God to her, and she said, "Oh, yes, Mr. So-and-so, I can't do without the Lord. I need him every day," and so on. But this minister wasn't happy with what he was hearing. Didn't savour of a real knowledge of Christ. So he asked that woman, "Tell me, my dear friend, when was it the Lord blessed your soul and made himself known to you?" And she said, "What do you mean?" And he explained to her what he meant, and she had to admit, "I don't know anything about it." "When did it happen?" he said. Now this prodigal, he knew when it happened. He had the ring as a token, a reminder of when it happened, and a token and a reminder of what the Lord had done. "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." Now, you see, there will be a period in life when the Lord is doing things over a period, but it comes to a point when his dealings with us come to, as regards that particular experience, it comes to a conclusion. The set time to favour Zion. Now, this ring is a reminder of it, and the reminder of that love. The reminder that he is the same, his love the same. And shoes on his feet. He hadn't come to the end of his path yet. "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Oh, what a day. When, you know, when these days come, these days of blessing. Hey, the Lord blessedly shoes his people. That is what he does for them on that day. Is not only with regard to the deliverance from where they have been and the blessing of them on that day, that blessing is for the way ahead as well. Shoes on his feet. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And bring hither the fatted calf, that's Christ. Christ was not slain as a baby. Herod would have done so if he could, but he couldn't. Because the babe Christ, Jesus, must grow into a lad and then into a man. And he must, over that period of 33 years, obey that law. And then at the appointed time, having suffered, been tempted, done all those miracles and preached those blessed sermons and declared those blessed truths, he must go to Gethsemane and Gabbatha and Golgotha. And all that is set forth by the fatted calf. You see, the food for the church of God is not the babe, Christ Jesus. Though when faith sees that holy babe, like Simeon did, but you see, what Simeon saw was what that babe was going to do. He was going to redeem Israel, and that's how Simeon fed upon him. But you see, what a blessed feast this is to a poor sinner when the Holy Spirit shows them everything that Christ did. That's the fatted calf. When he shows the poor sinner that Christ suffered being tempted, how could he feed upon one that had not suffered being tempted? How could he feed upon one who had not done those miracles that he did? How could he feed upon one that had not raised Lazarus from the grave, opened the eyes of the blind, unstopped the deaf ears, cleansed the leper, and done all those mighty works and preached all those blessed sermons? But above all, my dear friend, it's that fulfilling of all righteousness. That's the fatted calf. He's led as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And kill it. Oh, my dear friend, what a solemn point here in this parable. What a wondrous love the Father and the Son and the Spirit have to these prodigals, to feed them. His Son died, killed, crucified on Calvary's cross. In the determinate counsel of God, those wicked hands that took him and nailed him there. But all those agonies he passed through, that death he died. Why? If the prodigal is not to be slain eternally by God, the Son must be. This prodigal's sins are not something that can be dealt with in any other way but by the death of the Son of God. They shall look on me whom they have pierced and shall mourn for him. He shall eat the lamb with bitter herbs, is the commandment of God to the Israelites. Oh, the blessed food is eaten in such a way as there is that bitter taste, my sins. Oh, to know it. To know this feeding on the fatted calf. To know this feeding, my dear friend, in such a way as your soul is broken, your heart is broken. You're saved, you're pardoned, you're redeemed. Your soul is restored, your soul is redeemed. You have the title to heaven, but not only that, this feeding on this fatted calf, oh, it puts you right. It puts you in mourning. They shall mourn for him as one that is in bitterness, and shall be in bitterness as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And let us eat and be merry. You see, the father and the returning prodigal delight in the same thing. David said of Mephibosheth, he shall eat bread continually at my table. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. What God delights in, his people are brought to delight in. What satisfies the Father satisfies his people, and satisfies the Son, and satisfies the Spirit. For this my son was dead. Well, sinner, as we come to a close tonight, if there's one here and you have got into a condition where you feel nothing describes it but the solemn word dead, my text brings you in. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For if, poor sinner, tonight you feel your death, you're not still dead in trespasses and sins. This my son was dead and is alive again. You see, that's what sin does. Make no mistake about it, my dear friend. When you and I sin, it has a deadening effect. And look how it works. We sin, and it's not repented of, and we become hardened by it. And we go on in sin. And that's not repented of. So we become more hardened. Till this word dead completely describes us. This my son was dead and is alive again. Resurrection. Deliverance. Was lost. Does that describe one tonight? Lost and is found. He didn't find himself. Man didn't find him. God found him. The shepherd found him and brought him home. Draw me, we will run after thee, and is found. And they began to be merry. There's nothing like the salvation of a sinner to please God. There's joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And oh, my dear friend, it also rejoices the church. And of course, that favoured, restored sinner made happy. Your joy, no man taketh from you. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Richard Field will preach next Lord's Day in the evening, and Mr. Gilbert Hyde on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 214. Dear Lord, remember me, a sinner weak and vile, full of impiety, and fraught with sin and guile. I cannot hope but in thy blood. Remember me, O Lord, for good. Hymn 214.
thank thee for thy word. We ask thy blessing upon it, that it may remain with us. O Lord, do not let us leave it all behind on the chapel doorstep. Keep us safe. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.